every head bowed and every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed. A gracious Father in heaven, it is again that we, your children, have assembled ourselves together tonight in this place. Lord God, we've come as empty pitchers before a full fountain.
Yes, sir.
We're asking, oh God, tonight that you might fill us.
Yes, sir.
Fill us up.
Yes, sir.
Fill us up till our cup runs over.
Amen.
Fill us up until we're drinking from the saucer.
All right.
Fill us with more of your purpose and presence and power.
Yes, sir.
Help us, oh God, to know you to be God in our personal experience.
All right.
And we're praying even tonight, as your word goes forth, that it might find a lodging place in honest hearts.
Yes, sir.
And that you might do what you do. Bless somebody, help somebody,
yes,
touch somebody, lift somebody, encourage somebody, save somebody tonight. Get yourself some glory and do us some good.
Yes, sir.
Have your own way. You are the potter, we are the clay.
Yes, sir.
Mold us and make us after your will while we're waiting, yielded and still.
Yes,
we ask these favors and tender these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our conquering Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless my Father's children. I am super delighted to be spending these moments with you. Trust that you are being encouraged. I certainly am being encouraged myself. I am really grateful for the warmth and hospitality that has been shown me, Brother Jones, because now with a name like that, he gotta be a pretty good fella. Very gracious, and we just appreciate all of your words and acts of kindness. Be turning to a Church of Christ passage.
Okay.
Acts chapter 2.
All right.
Verse number 37.
Yes, sir.
We're developing the theme, Biblical Solutions to Critical Questions.
All right.
Tonight's message, and a most essential question. What must I do?
Yes, sir.
To be saved?
Yes, sir.
At the preaching of Peter, the response was, when they heard this, they were cut, they were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter answered them and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A most essential question. What must I do to be saved?
Yes, sir.
There are many important questions that are asked in life.
Uh-huh.
The question, will you marry me?
Yes, sir.
That's an important question.
Important.
The question, what do you want to do with your life?
Right.
Is an important question.
Right.
The Bible is filled with important questions.
Yes, sir.
Adam, where are you?
All right, now.
That's an important question. Psalms, the question posed by the psalmist, it rings in our hearing. What is man?
All right.
Thou art mindful of him.
Yes, sir.
Or the son of man that thou visitest him.
All right.
That's an important question. The question Pilate asks is important. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?
All right.
It's one of the most critical and crucial questions ever to be asked. In our text, we have what I consider the question of the ages, a most essential question.
All right.
Because it is a question that has to do with salvation.
All right.
What must I do to be saved?
Yes, sir.
That's an important question, because man's greatest problem,
uh-huh,
is sin.
All right.
And man's greatest need,
yes, sir,
is salvation.
Yes, sir.
Sin is a universal condition.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And salvation is the only prescription.
Yes, sir.
Sin has caused separation
uh-huh.
between the creator and the creature.
All right.
Sin, I declare, impairs the senses.
Uh-huh.
Sin warps the will.
Yes, sir.
Sin freezes the disposition.
Yes, sir.
Sin hardens the heart.
Yes, sir.
Sin degrades the reputation.
Yes, sir.
Sin steals the joy. Blights the future,
yes, sir.
Ruins lives, and damns souls.
Yes, sir.
Our desperate need, I said our desperate need,
uh-huh.
is to be saved.
Yes, sir.
I said that's our desperate need.
Yes, sir.
Saved from the mess we have made
yes,
of our own lives.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now y'all gonna come up in here and look like y'all been straight all the time.
Well.
Of the mess. We need to be saved from the mess we have made of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Saved from the power of sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Saved from the penalty of sin.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately saved from the presence of sin.
All right.
Mentioned to you before, that word saved, suzu,
okay.
means delivered.
All right.
It means to be rescued.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad Christ came
yes, sir.
To my rescue.
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to anybody who's happy about that?
Yes, sir.
Maybe ain't nobody happy but me.
Yes,
but I'm glad Christ came
yes, sir.
To my rescue.
Yes, sir.
I was shackled by sin.
Yes, sir.
I was trapped in the dungeon of despair.
Yes,
I was defeated and dominated by
yes,
the
sir.
Devil, and Christ came to my rescue.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm mighty glad.
All right.
I'm sure enough glad. That's
yes,
sure enough is not a word, but you understand.
Yes,
I'm S-H-O-N-U-F-F. I'm sure enough glad.
Yes,
help me, Lord Jesus.
All right,
that Christ came
yes, sir.
To my rescue.
All right.
Peter, that much faltering but much forgiving disciple, answers for us this essential question
mm-hmm.
as we unpack the passage
right.
to uncover the principles. There are two truths threaded into the tapestry of the text
okay.
that forms the substance of the sermon
all right.
and offers us the homiletical hinges on which this message swings.
All right.
I want you to notice the story
okay.
that must be heard. And then I want you to notice the submission that you must heed.
All right.
Notice the story
uh-huh.
that must be heard.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Peter steps up to preach, and he says in verse 22,
uh-huh.
men of Israel,
uh-huh.
hear these words.
All right.
Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know.
Yes, sir.
Him
yes, sir.
Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God.
All right.
You have taken with lawless hands and have crucified.
All right.
You have put him to death,
right.
whom God raised
yes,
up,
yes, sir.
Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it.
Amen.
Those of us who are the trustees of the oracles of God, those of us who are the custodians of the covenant,
all right.
who are tasked with sharing the message of salvation, with those who are lost, need to remember this point.
Okay.
We cannot be in such a hurry
uh-huh.
to tell people about the plan of salvation
okay.
that we forget to tell them about the man of salvation.
Yes, sir.
You didn't hear what I just said.
Yes, sir.
Now don't mishear me. I did not dismiss the essential nature of giving people
right.
the plan.
Right, right.
But you got to tell them why the plan is the plan. And the only reason why the plan is the plan is because of the man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Salvation's story begins with the man, the person Peter says is Christ Jesus.
Yes,
of this critical issue, let there be no doubt. The Bible declares there can be no salvation apart from Christ. If you want to be saved tonight, you gotta get hooked up with Christ. There's no other way.
Right.
Buddha can't bless you.
Amen.
You can't make it with Muhammad.
All right.
The Pope can't provide it.
Come on.
Salvation is only
yes,
in Christ.
Yes,
I heard him when he says, I am the way,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on now.
The truth,
uh-huh.
and the life.
Uh-huh.
No man comes unto the Father except by me.
Yes, sir.
I think I ought to tell you, can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Yes,
can't nobody do me like the Lord.
All right, now.
For who else can remove the stain of sin?
Yes, sir.
Who else can lift up the burden of
yes,
guilt?
Sir.
Who else can cleanse the soul from defilement?
Oh, yes.
Who else can mend the broken heart? Who else can straighten out the crooked pathway? Who else can rescue us
yes,
from
yes,
ruin and deliver us from despair? Who else can pick us up
yes, sir.
And turn us around and place our
yes,
feet on solid ground?
Yes,
can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Oh.
Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Oh.
Salvation, I declare, is only in Christ. Any sermon that would be considered great and biblical must have as a central subject Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The greatest sermon must speak about the greatest Savior.
Yes, sir.
Do I have any help in here?
Right.
And that's exactly what Peter's sermon does.
All right.
The startling claim that Peter makes in this sermon to his Jewish audience is that Messiah had come.
Yes, sir.
The Messiah, Peter declares, is none other than Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes,
Jesus the Nazarene was the name by which our Lord was commonly known during his earthly ministry. We read it in, for instance, Matthew 21 and 11 and Mark 10 and 47. It identified him with his hometown
yes, sir.
Of Nazareth. You might remember that it was a name that was an inscription on his cross.
Okay.
Jesus of Nazareth, yes, during 1919. I think I ought to tell you that Jesus was raised in the ghetto of Nazareth. But that's not really his hometown.
All right.
You didn't hear what I just said. Yeah, he was raised in the ghetto of Nazareth. But that's not really the place of
yes,
his
sir.
Hometown.
Yes, sir.
And you say, yeah, but he was born in Bethlehem. Yeah, yeah, but that's not really his hometown.
Oh, yeah.
I told you yesterday, I believe it was, John was correct when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and He was in the beginning with God. It's interesting. You ought to read it sometime. John's Gospel. John does not say about Jesus from the beginning. Oh, you missed your shot. Yeah, he does not say from the beginning. He says in the beginning. That makes this phrase in Greek essentially the same as the Hebrew phrase in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created
yes,
the heavens and the earth. This expression, in the beginning, does not refer to the beginning of some process or some localized point in time. It refers back into indefinite eternity, which precedes all time. I told you before, the old preachers were right when they said Christ is back before back.
All right.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Before Jacob limped, before Abraham traveled, before Noah built his boat, before Adam sinned, before God played in the dirt and made himself a man and breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul,
yes,
before the cornerstone of creation was set in place,
right,
before a let there be could be spoken over nothing and nothing became something,
yes,
but before God spoke and naked darkness dressed up in a garment of light, Christ is back before the oldest song of the oldest seraphim. He's back before back.
All right,
now. John says, in the beginning, and then he uses this interesting word. He uses this word, was.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to school for a moment. Y'all got time for to go to school?
Yes,
it's what's called, it's in what's called the imperfect tense in Greek. It is the imperfect am I or a me, sometimes pronounced. And it literally means to be.
All right.
To be denotes continuous existence.
All right.
John informs us that Jesus, as the Word, always has been, always is, and always will be the Word.
Yes, sir.
Back before back. Jesus is from a land of unclouded sky.
All right.
A city that lies four square.
Yes, sir.
Where the sun never sets and chilly winds never blow. Heaven! That's his hometown.
All right, now.
Am I right about it? And he's trying to invite us over. But if we're going to meet him at the house, we got to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Am I right about it? You know, Jesus never really enjoyed the approval of men. This claim that Jesus was from Nazareth was sometimes used as a pejorative.
Okay.
But because Nazareth had such a bad reputation. In fact, you remember when he called one of his own.
Yes, sir.
He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But what that teaches us is, honey, it ain't where you're from, it's where you're going.
Yes,
am I right about it? I said, am I right about it? Well, they called him Jesus of Nazareth.
All right.
And they were wondering, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Pharisees rejected him.
Uh-huh.
The Sadducees denied him.
Uh-huh.
The Romans killed him.
Uh-huh.
Although Jesus did not enjoy the approval of men,
all right,
he always enjoyed the approval of God.
All right, now.
And listen to me. If you make God happy,
yes, sir,
it doesn't really matter who else gets mad.
Okay.
Do I have any help in
yes,
here?
Right.
And if you make everybody else happy,
well,
and God gets mad, you still in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Do I have any help in
yes,
here?
Sir.
Peter says that Jesus was attested to.
All right.
Oh, O King James. It's the word apodekamon, and it has various shades of meaning. It's used, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 9 to speak of exhibiting something.
Okay.
In Acts 25 and 7, it conveys the idea of proof. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4, it has the sense of proclamation to a high office. In other words, what Peter is saying is that Jesus was placed on display and enjoyed the full approval of God.
Okay.
This word was used in Philippians 2:9. When the Bible says God highly exalted him,
yes, sir,
and bestowed on him the name which is above every name,
yes,
there is no higher office than that of Messiah,
all right,
God's anointed king. Jesus enjoy the approval of God.
Amen.
And when you have the approval of God, it doesn't matter who disproves.
Yes, sir.
Am I right about it?
All right.
Amen.
Peter says to them, this man,
uh-huh.
This man. When I was studying this, I got stuck there.
Okay.
You ever read a passage of scripture and you was really intending to keep on reading,
right.
But you mess around and got stuck?
Yeah.
I tell you why I got stuck.
Okay.
Because I know something about this man.
All right.
Peter says, this man, the one you murdered,
all right.
Is Messiah. This man.
The
one you hung on a tree,
yes, sir.
Now is sitting on a throne. This man,
yes, sir.
The one you killed,
yes, sir.
Peter says, is now King of Kings.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, I declare I know something about this man.
All right.
This man who walks on the restless waters and calms the raging sea.
Yes, sir.
I know something about this man. Adam's Redeemer,
yes,
Abel's sacrifice,
yes,
the Hebrew boys, surprise guests in a furnace of fire.
Oh, yeah.
I know something about this man.
Yes,
the stone the builders rejected,
yes,
that is now the chief cornerstone. I know something about this man. Mary's baby, Peter's, thou art the Christ, John's Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, my Savior, my friend, my doctor,
yes,
in a sick room,
yes,
my lawyer,
yes,
in the courtroom, my hope,
yes,
my help, my strength, my stay.
Yes,
I know something about this man. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I know something about this man. I just sometimes love to call his name. Jesus. It just rings strong in my spirit. Jesus.
Yes,
his name fills heaven with his glory, earth with his mercy, hell with his fury. I know something about this man. This powerfully penetrating verse, Peter shares with us how indisputably indispensable was the death of Christ.
All right.
The phrase he uses is, God delivered up, is ekdados. It's used only here in the New Testament. And it describes those surrendered to their enemies, or those betrayed. God gave his son to be the savior of the world. And it involved him being delivered,
all right,
being handed over to his enemies.
Yes, sir.
By God's design,
Jesus
was betrayed by Judas,
yes, sir,
into the hands of Jewish leaders,
yes, sir,
who handed him over to the Romans,
right,
for execution.
All right.
Peter says this didn't catch God by surprise.
Well,
Peter says it was according to foreknowledge.
Yes.
This is one of those Greek terms you're familiar with. It is prognosis. We have transliterated it into English as prognosis.
Okay.
When you go to the doctor and they check on you, they give you a prognosis. That is to say, they know something before they have to do the surgery. You don't want them to start doing the surgery and they don't know what they're doing.
All right.
You want a prognosis. Do I have any help in here? Well, what Peter says is, God had, when Jesus came, he knew he would end up on that hill.
Yes, sir.
God in eternity past had determined it to be. When God acted in creation, he also acted in redemption.
All right.
That's why in the Revelation, Jesus is described as a lamb slain,
yes, sir,
from the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
I know in some way, I've never been able to fully explain it, but like the old folks used to say, he took a lick that was meant for me.
All right.
I know that he got on a load that was meant for me to carry.
All right.
And I know where our slates were all blotched and marred, he wiped them clean.
Yes, sir.
And I know that he got under this load that wasn't meant for him, but was meant for us.
All right.
That where the charges stood against me, he cleared them.
Yes, sir.
If in Eden there is a tree forbidden,
yes, sir.
At Calvary there's a tree forgiven.
All right.
If in Eden there is a tree prohibited,
uh-huh.
At Calvary there's a tree provided.
All right.
I don't know how y'all feel about it.
All right.
But in some way deeper than I can ever say,
well,
he made it all right,
yes, sir.
With my soul.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he manumitted the slave's indebtedness.
Yes, sir.
He got the orphan back into the father's house and called him or her his child.
Right.
My condition was forever altered. And change, and now I'm a child of the King, a member of the royal house.
Yeah.
At Calvary,
all right.
We see God at his best and man at his worst. At Calvary,
yeah.
We see the lawlessness of man, how it rejects the love of God. We see the sinner killing the Savior, and man chooses darkness over light.
Well.
One of the poet describes.
All right.
Was it for crimes that I have done?
All right.
He groaned upon a tree.
All right.
Amazing grace.
Yes, sir.
Amazing grace unknown.
Uh-huh.
And love beyond degree.
Yes, sir.
Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin.
Yes, sir.
Jesus died, and it was absolutely necessary.
Right.
He died, and he canceled our debt. He died, and he satisfied the demands of the law we broke.
All right.
He died and rectified our condition. He died and glorified the love of God.
Uh-huh.
He died and got our souls out of hock.
All right.
I wish I had somebody who,
yes,
knew what I was talking about. He died until death itself died.
Well.
Until the old account was settled.
Yes,
until the transaction was completed.
Right.
Until hell got tired.
Right.
He died until he became a strong defense and a high tower. He died until he became the shadow of a gray rock in a weary land. Until he became a river of living water in dry places. The captain of our salvation. He died. Then Peter gets to the central theme and truth of his sermon. He comes to the central fact of redemptive history. Peter says Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. Oh, you missed your shout. I ain't got no better word than that.
Sir.
Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead.
All right.
Jesus got up.
Yes, sir.
Up from the grave.
Yes, sir.
Peter quotes here from Psalms 16 and 8. When you read the psalm, it can be summarized as the psalmist speaking of the resurrection, since David was not resurrected, and his burial place,
is still
there.
Right, right.
Peter says this Psalms can't be talking about David.
All right.
Because David was not resurrected. Thus, David, in prophecy,
uh-huh.
is speaking about the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Peter goes on to say, if you don't believe eternal prophecy,
uh-huh.
then you ought to believe eyewitnesses.
All right.
Peter says, of this we are all witnesses.
Yes, sir.
Peter says, we know he's alive.
Yes, sir.
Because we saw him. Peter declares that there is no way in Hades, that's what that Jesus could stay in the grave.
Yes, sir.
He says it's impossible because life is stronger than death.
Uh-huh.
Because light is stronger than darkness.
All right.
There's no way for Jesus to stay in the grave because hell is not strong enough to hold him. And death is not strong enough to defeat him. And the grave is not strong enough to grip him. And Satan is not strong enough to subdue him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the great hope of our Christian faith is that Jesus lives.
Amen.
Christ died one fateful Friday,
all right,
and he was buried, but early one Sunday morning, didn't he get up? He got up with all power in his hands. That's the story that must be heard.
All right.
And then Peter moves to the submission that you must heed.
All right.
And now, when they heard this,
they
were, New King James says, cut to the heart.
All right.
And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Unfortunately, among us there seems to be those who only want to talk about the person of salvation. They don't want to talk about the plan of salvation.
All right.
Salvation does begin with the person, but you can't get to the person if you don't follow the person's plan.
All right.
The word that's translated pricked or cut, katanuso, it means to stab. It means to pierce. It speaks to the fact that Peter's audience was overcome with remorse at having slain the best the world has ever seen. Overwhelmed with anguish, despair, remorse, and guilt. They say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They sought desperately for a way to make right what had gone so tragically wrong some 50 days earlier.
All right.
The answer Peter gave, the people on Pentecost is still what a person must do to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
There are people who are under the mistaken notion
that
to be saved, all one has to do is to believe.
Okay.
And by doing so, they are denying the essential nature of baptism.
Yes, sir.
That's not what Peter said.
All right.
Peter said to these folks, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. The word baptism is the Greek word baptizo.
All right.
And it's important to note that it's passive in this verse. You don't do baptism.
All right.
You be baptized.
Right.
As I mentioned to you before, when you talk about baptism as a work,
all right,
it's not your work. It's God's work.
Yes, sir.
Placing us into Christ.
All right.
And placing Christ into us.
All right.
Being baptized is what God does for us.
Yes, sir.
We meet the Lord in the water.
Yes, sir.
And listen to me. It is not something for you to see.
All right.
It's something for you to do.
Yes.
I say that because I talk to a lot of people, but Jones, and they always tell me, well, I don't see what's in the water. You wasn't told to see it. You were supposed to be in it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
Brother Brayton, longtime preacher from the Memphis area, for years and years, he used to say he don't see how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter.
Yeah.
He said, but y'all eat the cow.
Yeah.
and drink the milk,
okay,
and eat the butter. Now, he didn't say this. I added it. Some of y'all smoke the grass. Come on, help me, somebody. Somebody ought to help me up in here. You're not told to see. You're told to be baptized. The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you want to be saved, you have to submit yourself in faith to the waters of baptism. I tell you, the old preachers were right. God put water in the plan. Those saved here on Pentecost had to go to the water. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 had to go to the water. That African nobleman from Ethiopia, Acts chapter 8, had to go to the water. Saul of Tarsus in chapter 9 had to go to the water. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, had to go to the water. Lydia, Acts 16, had to go to the water. A Philippian jailer, way on at midnight, still had to go to the water. There are some scholars who teach that a person is baptized because his sins have been forgiven.
Okay.
One such scholar is Wayne Dehoney.
Okay.
In his The Teacher's Bible Commentary, he makes this argument. He states that Peter's statement for the remission of sins in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 means because of the forgiveness of sin. He states that it's the same thing as saying a man was executed for murder.
Okay.
He says for the remission of sin is just like saying somebody being executed for murder.
Right.
Well, let's unpack that.
Okay.
You listen, don't get upset with me if I examine what people say. If people don't want it to be examined, they shouldn't say it.
Okay.
Am I right or am I right? Sometimes, not y'all, but y'all can people get uncomfortable when I really expose error. Listen, if they don't teach it, I won't say nothing about it.
All right.
But if they teach it, I will examine it.
Okay.
Because the Bible says, test the spirit, whether they are of God. So let's take what Dehoney says and let's test it. Notice, in verse number 38, Peter does use the word for. Eis is the Greek word. For the remission of your sin is eis aphason hamartion.
Okay.
Eis aphason hamartion. For the remission of sins.
Okay.
This phrase, I'm going to school, but I'm going to help you get something here, okay? This phrase is used in Matthew 28,
yes, sir.
Rather Matthew 26, 28.
Uh-huh.
It's used in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Luke 3:3, Acts 2:38. Eis aphason hamartion, same phrase is used. If you want to understand the meaning of a phrase, the law of first mention is a hermeneutical principle.
Okay.
That means when God first says something about something, that's where you want to begin your study.
Okay.
Because whatever else he says about that something, that's where it begins. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Is the law of first disclosure or the law of first mention? So let's go and let's see where this phrase, eis aphason hamartion, is used. It's used in Matthew 26. And verse number 28,
okay,
when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper,
all right,
and Jesus says that his blood was to be shed, same phrase,
all right,
for yes, the forgiveness of sin.
All right.
It is in Greek,
uh-huh,
the exact Greek construct as Acts 2:38, eis aphason hamartion. It is the exact in every respect. It is the exact phrase.
Right.
Now, no scholar. My brother would say, nan. Y'all, that's not a good word.
Well,
but you're not nan, not nan.
Well.
No scholar would argue that eis Atherson hamartion in Matthew 26, 28 means because of the forgiveness of sin.
Okay. Right.
No scholar would argue that Jesus is shedding his blood because your sins have been forgiven.
Right.
Nobody believes that. Everybody knows that Jesus died and shed his blood in order that your sin, am I making any sense? In order that your sins be forgiven. All reputable Greek lexicons agree on the meaning of this phrase. Thayer, great Greek scholar, translate the phrase to obtain the forgiveness of sin. Ont and Gingrich defines it so that sins might be forgiven.
Yes,
the point is, if you want your sins to be forgiven, you got to go to the water.
Yes, sir.
Nobody is saved and then baptized.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere the discussion of salvation and baptism is spoken of in the same place, it always has the same order.
Yes, sir.
First baptism and then salvation.
Right. Yes,
he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's never any different.
Amen.
Nowhere in the Bible is a person said to be saved in the church of Christ before they're baptized. Somebody said, well, what about the thief on the cross? Now how far do you want to take that?
If you want
to be saved like the thief on the cross, do you want to die like him?
All right, then.
Tragic, sir.
Somebody ought to help me here. You don't want to be nailed to a cross, but you want what he got.
Yeah.
No, he died before the church was even established.
Yeah.
Nobody had been baptized into the church during his time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
There are many people who dismissed the notion of Jesus' death. But I declare the message that we have to share is that Jesus came and he died and he got up again.
Yes, sir.
And because he did, no matter what we're going through,
yes, sir.
God can make it all right with our souls.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what you're dealing with. I do know that if God can get Jesus up out the grave, he can get you up out your mess.
All right.
Somebody ought to hear me tonight.
Yes,
my brothers and sisters, our visiting friends, the great news about our Christian faith is that it promises that no matter your pain and no matter your past, you don't have to be what you've been. Help me, Lord.
Amen.
For the Christian, when trials come,
yes, sir.
God is not doing something to us.
All right.
He's doing something in us and for us.
Yes, sir.
You don't see what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you that you don't have to be what you've been. That's the whole story of our Christian faith. Okay, you don't.
Yes, sir.
You don't see it. Yeah. Let me see if I can help you. You see it. This on this bottle, it is a statement that speaks to what I'm sharing with you tonight. It says, please recycle. Do you know what folks do with this bottle when they finish with it?
Yes, sir.
They throw it away. They throw it away because they have gotten out of it all that they can. And they no longer have any use for it. And so they junk it. They discard it. They throw it away. And I declare that's what the world does to you. That's what the devil will do for you. The devil will use you up and throw you away. Not only the devil will do it, but all those on his payroll. Somebody ought to help me here. And listen to me. Everybody on the devil's payroll, don't say to y'all. It would be nice if they came up to you and said, hi, my name is William. I'm from the devil. Somebody ought to help me here.
Amen.
They will use you up and throw you away. But this Bible tells us tonight, we don't have to be what we've been.
Amen.
We can be recycled.
Yes,
sir. I'm talking to somebody tonight, and you need to know that you don't have to be what you've been. Right now, tonight, God has blessed you. You're at the recycling center. Help me, Lord.
Amen.
And the manager of this recycling center, his name is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And I declare he can make something new and wonderful out of you.
Amen.
I read it. If any man be in Christ,
yes,
sir, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can be recycled. You don't have to be what you've been.
Amen.
I hate to even say all of this to y'all because y'all are going to heaven. But when I talk to y'all kin people, I tell them you might have been a lie teller, a gossip spreader, a false accuser. But you don't have to be what you've been.
Amen.
You can be recycled.
Amen.
You might have been a ditch digger, a mudslinger, a stone thrower. But you don't have to be what you've been. You can be recycled.
Amen.
You might have been a whiskey drinker. Come on, help me somebody.
Yes,
smile at me when I walk down your street. You might have been a whiskey drinker, a pot smoker, a drug abuser. But you don't have to be what you've been.
Amen.
Might have been a peace breaker, a trouble causer, a character assassinator, but you can be recycled.
Amen.
You might have been a home wrecker, a gone duck, a skirt chaser,
tragic,
a gold digger. Come on, help me somebody.
Yes.
You don't have to be what you've been. You can be recycled.
Amen.
Somebody tonight ought to tell Jesus, recycle me. Turn my pain into power. Recycle me. Turn my burdens into blessings. Lord, recycle me. Turn my hell into hope and my adversities into advantages. Lord, recycle me. Turn my barriers into bridges and my fear into faith. Lord, recycle me. Turn my worry into worship and my failures into forgiveness. Lord, recycle me.
Amen.
Turn my weakness into strength. Turn the problems of my blighted past into the power of a brighter future. Lord, recycle me.
Yes.
Recycle me.
Yes, sir.
And I declare, no matter how dark the stain of sin upon your soul, somewhere I read, though your sins be as scarlet,
yes, sir,
they can be white as snow. Oh, I don't care how long or how low you sunk in the pit of your practices, I declare you can leave here new. I'm talking about brand spanking new. And you don't get any newer than that. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Even if he made you before and you got used up by life, you're a child of God. God is still in the recycling business. He can take you and break you and make you all over again.
Amen.
If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching and wouldn't step forward in a pulpit ever again. If I didn't believe that God could do something with your past and transform your present and transfigure your future, I'd quit. But I know what God can do. I know what God can do.
Amen.
I dare you. No, I double dog dare you.
Yes, sir.
Give God a chance with your life.
Amen.
He'll make something new with you. Yes, he will.
Amen.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Amen.
Tonight, by faith in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, you can have your sins cleansed and canceled. And tonight, you can become a child of the King. You're here and you need to get your business straight with God. Don't make me beg you to do what you know you ought to do. Do it tonight. Do it now. The only time you have is now. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Tonight is the only cash you got, and you need to invest it in the bank of God. If you want to reap eternal dividends, come on tonight and say yes, will you? Right now, while together we stand and sing the Savior's invitation.